Once again, we're faced with a mystery, an act of God in Christ, whose depths are infinite, and we're called upon to enter into this. There is a power here. There is a power to change us. And so we meditate on this. And remember the four steps: to read, to reflect, to pray, and to contemplate. And we don't have time to go through all of those in detail, but let's take a look. First, who is this who reaches into the very depths of death and claims somebody back? Who is this? And what does it say about the meaning of life? Nain is a town in the north in Galilee, little town. Not much there. I mean, there's nothing notable has ever happened there, I guess. So here comes this large funeral cortege out to bury this man. Now, the mother is the only one alive of that family. She's a widow, and this is her only son. What does Jesus see? He sees his people bereft, having no future, having no life, because they are not welcoming God himself in their midst, come to give them the glory that was promised them from all eternity and spoken of over and over again by the prophets. Out of you will come the light. You will be the light to the nations. And in Christ, this is still true. But he wants his people to be part of this. He sees all that, but he has compassion on the woman. You know, Pope John Paul II's beautiful distinction between pity and compassion, or mercy. Pity looks to the need. Compassion looks to the person. We can fix up lots of needs and never really relate to a person. Occupational hazard for those who do social work and things like that, whether it be in the church or outside the church, fixing everybody up, but never looking at the person. Jesus had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." So we've read the text, part of it now. We've reflected a bit. If you were home, you could take out your little map and say, well, where's Nain anyway? And then try to use your imagination to picture this scene. You know, Dostoevsky, in his book, The Brothers Karamazov, borrows from this scene in the opening lines of his thing on the Grand Inquisitor. The same, you know, takes from this scene. And then start to reflect on who is this who nearly has to say, get up, to a dead man. And he gets up. Who is this? What does this mean? And then, of course, the whole crowd made the dead man get up, began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother, as the prophet Elisha had done when he lay on that boy who was apparently dead and raised him up and gave him to his mother, gave him back to his people. Now, every healing and every raising from the dead, and there are many, all in the power of Jesus Christ. There are many. People in the mission fields are used to this. I'm not saying it happens every day, but it happens in the missions in Africa. It happens in... I told you the story of this woman. I was giving a conference on evangelization. Evangelization involves signs and wonders. Of course it does. Someone stood up and objected to that and wanted to direct it more into better inner city cooperation, which is also a miracle sometimes. I didn't say anything. I mean, before I could think of anything to say, because it was so outlandish. No signs and wonders. What does Paul say? Have I not shown you the marks of an apostle? Signs and wonders and deeds of power done with great endurance. That's an apostle. Anyway, this woman stood up, 55, 60, I would suppose. She said, my family have been missionaries ever since my husband and I were married. Our children and now our grandchildren all live with us. For a long time we lived in Borneo. Now we live in a very poor part of southern Mexico. She said, I've seen food multiplied. I've seen the dead raised. Manifesting the power of Jesus, of course. Now we're starting to move toward prayer, right? Oh, Jesus, then raise me up, will you please? I'm not physically dead, but I need an awful lot of help. You see, every miracle, particularly every healing miracle, is a promise from God. This is the way I want you to be for all eternity. I want you to be alive, not just with the life that you have now, but with my own life being the very principle of your body and your soul for all eternity. And now, you see, if the Lord would so gift us, we could see this. Seeing doesn't mean watching a movie. It means experiencing this life-giving power of Jesus Christ ourselves. We're all, because of sin, half dead. Even if we're in great health, not only are we going to die, but our moral life, our spiritual life, our faith life. And so we say, and we should say as we come to the Eucharist today, Lord, raise me up. Remember what we had yesterday? We had the centurion's, Lord, I am not worthy. Well, it's true again this morning. Lord, raise me up. Give me in some way today, and to my family, and to my friends, and to the community, and to the church, give me some sign of your life-giving, life-changing power. I shouldn't walk out of here having heard that you reached down into the very pit of death and took this man and gave him back his life, and walk out of here the same as when I came in. Then I really haven't heard the word of God. I heard a nice story about Jesus. And so, let's pray and pray for each other.